Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren, and welcome to the beginning of Christmas holiday. And yes, I can say it now, because Thanksgiving is over. You may now put up your lights. I've given you permission. You may now start listening to Christmas music. And in case you're wondering, yes, this past weekend, my wife, because she's sick and I feel sorry for her, and because she told me I had to, we started watching Christmas rom-com movies. Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 20. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 20. This weekend I ran into a friend of mine who I haven't seen for a long time, and he's kind of a crazy guy. He's into doing things different. He's an inventor, and he tries to be on the forefront of things. And so recently, he sent me word that a while back, he built and lived in an inflatable house. And I saw him over the weekend, and he didn't look too good. And I went up to him, and I said, "Friend, how are you?" He goes, "Well, my inflatable house got a puncture in it." I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that." He goes, "Yeah, I know. Now I'm forced to be living in a flat." Come on, that was a good one. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In a time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." And the angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Let us pray and ask God to add his blessings and power to these words. Father, we thank you. We stand ready to receive before you, and we ask that our hearts are open. I do not take credit for these words ever. We receive them from you, and we grow from them, Father. Let us hear what you have laid out for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. Well, we all have it. Cannot escape it. I don't care what you try to do. You cannot take a bath to wash it off. You cannot go down to the shop and use gasoline to get it out from under your fingernails. You cannot escape it. You have it. It's there. You will always have it until we leave this terrestrial plane. Isaiah 55, the 8th and 9th verse. God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." That means this: a predetermined course of events, often held to be an irresistible power of agency direction. See, God knows. God knows each and every one of us have a destiny to be fulfilled. Destiny. It is that far off thing in the distance. It is that point, that intersection, where great men and great women and great people and little children, as their capes flap in the breeze, live and breathe and move toward their destiny. It is the place that we converge. It is what philosophers have written. It is the greatest moment in our lives. And that's a bunch of stuff and nonsense, if you ask me. Unless you believe. And I mean believe. And I, for one, believe that I have a destiny. I believe that each and every one of us have a destiny. And the beautiful thing about destiny is our God allows us to choose it. In the words written on an opening to a British cemetery is the following little lines. "Pause, my friend, as you walk by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. Prepare, my friend, to follow me." And somebody in a smart alecky mood added these words: "To follow you is not my intent until I know which way you went." I need to get that put on and hang it on the door of something somewhere. Destiny is not determined by chances, but by choices. And so anybody that tells you, "I am destined to be great," they are full of baloney. But I do believe. I believe we are a part of a destiny. I believe it so strongly that we are sitting here today because of it. We start into the Christmas season in these verses right here. And I'm going to warn you, if you've closed your Bible, then you've shut your parachute, because we're going to be in it for a little bit today. You remember what parachutes are? Remember what Bibles are? They only function like a parachute. They only work when they're open. In the beginning of all of this comes choice of destiny. It is one of the stories that just gets sent right past. We all know what happens because we all jump to Luke chapter 2. In the days of blah, 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 blah. And we'll get to that. And we think about Mary, you're going to have a child, and we listen briefly for a moment. And maybe sometime later on we talk about Zechariah, but I encourage you that we're going to look at destiny today as the beginning, the opening act, if you will, of the Christmas season. It starts off explaining that in this period of time under King Herod, Jews had a lot going on. They were heavily persecuted and clamped down on, but yet they were still allowed to worship. And Zechariah was a priest. He wasn't just some guy off the street. He was a priest, and he came from the division of Abijah. And his wife came from Aaron. And they were both upright in God. And they observed, and I love how the Bible makes very careful note of this, the Lord's commandments, regulations blamelessly. They had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were well along in years. That is a hard thing for a Jewish family, not even then, but now, to accept that they cannot have children. Barren. That's a hard word, isn't it? barren. She wanted a child so bad. And Zechariah prayed. And now we start to see destiny. The Bible records that his division was on duty. That means they were there to do the prayers, to offer the sacrifices, to do the incense. They were there to do what needed to be done at the altar. They were on duty. And one of the greatest things you could do was become the priest that went into the Holy of Holies and burned the incense and gave the prayer. That was something else. And you had to be picked for it. Imagine that. Zechariah got picked. It says here by lot. That means they drew straws. And he won. I drew the shortest straw the other day when my mom came to fuss at us for my dad being at the wood splitter. Seems like I draw that one a lot. But they won. He goes into the temple and begins burning the incense. And the people outside were praying and he carried their prayers forward. And at that moment, I love how the Bible does this all the time. I just would like to see my own reaction if an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in front of me. Don't do it while I'm driving, though. Please, I'm bad enough on the road as it is. We look at these stories, we hear these moments in time, and we think, okay, that happened. But what if it did happen? What if an angel of the Lord appeared to you right now and said to you, I don't know, let's pick somebody out of this congregation today. Shirley! Look at that face. See, I don't even have to be the angel. I just have to say it. Shirley, I have big news for you. You're going to do this. And you're going to be like, and Zechariah was. He was sitting there when suddenly the angel appeared. And in human form, Zechariah acted like a human being, listening to what the angel said. We have heard your prayers. Your wife is going to become pregnant. You are going to have a child. He's going to be joy. You're going to name him John. He's going to be a delight. You're going to get a son. He even lays it out. Many of the people of Israel will find their way back to the Lord because John is going to pave the way. Zechariah is a good fellow. He's being who he is, but he's also a pretty smart cat. And I'm going to read to you why. He says, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. The Bible says, I'm an old man. But Zechariah is smart because he knows at some point his wife is going to hear about this and he doesn't call her an old woman. He says, and my wife is well along in years. That's a smart man right there. But he questions the wisdom of God. He makes a choice while he's looking at his destiny to question. Gabriel says, okay, you're done talking until your son is born. You have been blameless and upright, but in these moments, you need to learn a further lesson. You see, all of this is choice. All of these moments is choice. Everything that comes underneath of destiny is choice. You make a choice. You choose. You choose to get up and come to church today. Oh, my golly. It's raining, it's snowing, my back hurt, my foot hurts, the car won't start. I burnt the eggs this morning, I can't boil coffee. I can't live without my coffee. I can't go to church unless I have coffee. Because if I don't have coffee this morning, and I go to church, and that preacher gets up there and he points at me again, I'm going to go squashing. I know who you coffee drinkers are. Because I'm one. We make a choice. And every choice we make changes direction. In these moments, though, we also read about the sacrifice Zechariah doesn't know he's going to make. Sacrificing for destiny. During his reign, King Frederick III of Prussia found himself in trouble. He had spent all the money on wars, and they were costly, and he was trying to fix a nation, and he was out of money, but his people wanted him to win, and he couldn't capitulate to the enemy because that was unthinkable. So after careful reflection, he asked the women of Prussia, the women, to bring in their jewelry, gold, silver, and have it melted down into bars to be sold for their country. For every ornament received, for everything brought, he determined to exchange a decoration for these women made of bronze and iron as a symbol. Each decoration will be inscribed, "I gave gold for iron in 1813. The response was more than he ever thought it would be. More importantly, the women prized that cross as they brought their gold, their jewelries, their everything, and had it melted down. They sacrificed for their king, and it became unfashionable for them to wear jewelry during this time, except for that cross. When we Christians come to the king, we exchange our flourishes of our former life for the cross. When Zechariah finally came to the understanding after his mouth was shut, he realized he was coming forth for the king." It is a powerful moment in that scripture when Gabriel says, "Be quiet." And yet, destiny continues. Let's go on to the 21st verse and keep going. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." She made her choice for destiny. You're the woman. Your husband comes home from a business trip, unable to talk. You have no children. He says, or something, and you discern that you are going to have a baby. Nowhere in the scripture did she argue. She simply accepted it. She chose to see the power of her Lord and Savior and chose to see what yet he had to offer her. She has no idea what's going to happen other than she's going to have a child. She does not know that this child will become the man who prepares the way for Christ. She accepts it. And that, brothers and sisters, as H.E. Fosdick said, "He who chooses the beginning of a road chooses the place it leads to. It is the means that determines the end." At the front of this Christmas holiday, we look at it as destiny, as sacrifice, as choice. And that's where we are every day. We choose, and our life is a reflection of it. And the most simplest place in the world to watch choice in action is at the grocery store. Oh yeah, you can start laughing now. But I'm going to tell you where it actually happens. Let's see. By a show of hands, how many people think I'm going to say the produce aisle? No? Well, I fouled that one up, didn't I? How many people think I'm going to say at the milk aisle? No, I wish you guys could see the other end of this camera. Everybody's looking at me like, would you just get on with it? No, choice of life comes in the bread aisle. Oh, everybody's like, why are you picking on me, Pastor Paul? I watch it. I had to go get bread a couple weeks ago. Now, I am not a shopper. I am a go-getter. I go in the store and I grab it. I've come home already with a dozen eggs, and one of them was cracked, and my beautiful bride will say, "Didn't you open that box to look at it?" No, they were eggs. I grabbed them. I put them in the cart. "Did you check to see the date on the cheese?" No, I'm a go-getter. I went into the bread aisle. They have this huge amount of bread. It's always the same bread. White, wheat, honey wheat, split top, butter crust, Thomas's English muffins, somebody else's English muffins, dinner rolls, potato rolls, Martin's. It's all there. All you have to decide is, what do I like today? And I watch people stand there in the bread aisle and they pull a loaf out that's in plastic. And they put it back. I'm like, man, I must be missing. And I watch people spend a little time in the bread aisle trying to decide the perfect loaf of bread to get, as if when they get home, if they open up the wrong loaf of bread, the whole world will collapse. And yet they're thinking about the future. I want to get the choicest, freshest bread when I make sandwiches for whomever, or when I'm making stuffing for Thanksgiving, or if there is that late night snack when I just need a piece of toasted bread with some apple butter on it. They choose. They look toward what the future will be. Zechariah chose God. Verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. That's an amazing line. They shared her joy. Look, it's a baby. It's a beautiful baby boy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah, but his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." I want you to stop right there for a moment and think about what's taking place. Zechariah cannot speak. Now, I am sure that there are some women in this congregation going, "Boy, that must have been a nice time. My wife was sitting here, she'd be going..." But in truth, he couldn't speak. He had to make signs. We don't even read that he wrote anything down. We know that he is trying to tell her. And in all of that, God gives her the discernment to understand what's laid out for this destiny, to realize the baby is to be named John. No. They made signs to the father to find out what he would like to name the child. Don't go against mama. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was open, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this was wondering about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. That is destiny. Zechariah's prophecy. His father was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Praise be to the name of God. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. Destiny. For you will go on before the Lord and prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness. That's Jesus, in case you haven't kept up. And in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit and lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. My God. When you fire up the Christmas season, starting from here, you get all light and happy. Your little arm bumps come up, don't they? You get them chill bumps when you think about what he was destined to be. And this was done with that old word, faith. After all this, Zechariah gave the faith that he had, everything and totally, to God. You remember what faith was, right? Edna Butterfield said, my husband Ron once taught a class of mentally impaired teenagers. Looking at his students' capabilities rather than their limitations, Ron got them to play chess, restore furniture, and even repair electrical appliances. Most important, he told them to believe in themselves. Young Bobby soon proved how well he had learned that lesson. One day he came in and slammed down on the counter a broken toaster that he was going to repair in front of my husband Ron. And his faith was so great, right beside the toaster, he laid down a loaf of bread. That's faith. That's believing. Here we go again, headed to the point. We're headed to the destiny. Regardless of what the world says against Christmas, regardless, don't get lost in that old debate. Well, it didn't happen in December. I don't know. Well, it wasn't cold. It wasn't snowing. I don't think the hymns say that. They said it was cold. Anybody in this room ever been in the desert at night? Some of you have. Is it warm in the desert at night? No, it's cold. It don't matter if it's been 165 million degrees that day. At night when the sun goes, because there is no retention of the earth, it's 165 million degrees below zero. It's cold. Don't get lost in what the world says. We are looking toward the answer that is coming. We are looking toward the destiny that is Jesus Christ. By sacrifice, by choice, by faith, we have been given the story that is ours to share and tell, and we would do it happily, gladly, to anyone during this time and every time. It is our destiny during the Christmas season to speak of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, when you follow the destiny, during the high priesthood of Ananias and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the destiny, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for Him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. Amen. Destiny. Merry Christmas, brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Father, we come before you ready now. Let us spend this week going back over the story of Zechariah, Elizabeth, and John and reminding ourselves of what it means to answer the call to destiny. It's going to go this way. It's going to go that way. It's going to change a million thousand times before we get to the end of it. But as long as we lay our path with you, we go where you would lead, knowing that your thoughts are your thoughts. We will claim victory. Let us be reminded of what had to happen for Jesus Christ to arrive. Not just in baby, but as Savior. Let us tell this story again and again. And let us be reminded how the beginning began. In destiny, answer. Watch over and keep us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you each at the beginning of this holiday season. I ask that you come to know Jesus Christ. And if you need to know how, reach out. If you need it here today, this bench is open. But may His blessings be upon each and every one of you, now and forevermore. Thank you.